Hello and welcome to the Eighth Note, episode 8, which is very exciting. I am Gitti Rappaport and I am here with my brother, Rabbi Reuven Wolf from Ayin Yisrael. And tonight we are going to be discussing the Sicha of that the Rebbe gave on Chaf Ches Sivan, which he discusses. It was 50 years from when he arrived to America with his wife, the Rebbetzin. And the idea that he brings about, one of the ideas, is this concept of bringing the Pnimius of Torah to the lower level, to the lowest level, bringing it to America. And then that becoming the source of where everything, all the shluchim leave from here. And that's where we brought it to America, and then that's where it's being spread out to the rest of the world, and Yiddishkeit and Hasidus is being brought to the rest of the world. So it's really very interesting concept,
to say the least. Yeah, so this Shabbos is going to be Chav Ches. In the words of the Rebbe, Koyach Sivan. What is astounding in the Sicha, the Rebbe ties his coming to America to be a cosmic event. And it's so clear in the Sicha. Rarely does the Rebbe pull the curtain in such a way like he does over here. He is stating, it's not just a cosmic event, but in terms of inyanim, I'm not going to go into how literal one wants to run with it, but in terms of content, it's like the Rebbe ties the day to the Gemar Vishlemus of all the avoid of all the generations of everything. This is the climax. This is where everything has been leading to the moment of coming to America. Because as you mentioned, I mean, and as we're going to see, this is something that you have to marinate in Chabad Chassidus to realize and to make the mental shift that the Rebbe is making in Chassidus, where the importance becomes all about the Tachtein. All about the world, all about the space, all about the earth. It's a continuation of Baal Oischa that we're learning earlier. Bottoms up, everything coming from below. So the target is to reach the farthest out. And everybody knows that about Chabad, Yafutsu Chutzah. Chutzah, it's a Chabad concept. I'll speak about it a little bit more. It's fascinating. But it really took Yiddishkeit and flipped it upside down. It never was this way until the Alter Rebbe came and kind of literally turned the entire world over. But it's not just about bringing the light down, 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 down. It's the next point. The Dafka, when you hit rock bottom, and you permeate the lowest place, you unstop the stopper, and suddenly that's where all the divinity and all the power and all the godliness is unleashed. And it shouldn't be a chiddush, because everybody's been learning this concept in Gemara when we hear the story of Matan Torah. Moshe goes up to Shemayim, and he wants the Torah. The Malachim, who are the spiritual beings, they're the Elyonim, they're the higher realms, they're full of light, full of Gan Eden, full of Olam Haba, full of all that stuff of being above the world, outside in a very spiritual place, and they're upset, obviously. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes into his argument with them that the Torah could not be given in any of these realms. There is no question that you learn that in Chassidus itself, we find out that you can learn any subject in Torah and apply it to the spiritual worlds. Adarab, Dafkin Chassidus, is where you get such a geschmack in understanding how these physical halachis have spiritual content and more spiritual content and more spiritual. So there is no question that the Torah you can learn in the world of Yetzirah, and you can learn the Torah in the world of Berea, and you can learn the Torah in Atzilus, and you can learn the Torah higher than Atzilus. And not just you could learn it, it is in every world and in every place. Yet, The Eibishter says, I'm going to give the Torah in the chunkiest, thickest, densest form. And the reason for that is because the essence of the Torah is only applicable in its world where there's Yetzer Hara, where there is Gerubkeit, where there's a Guv Gashmi, where there's a material physical entity, where there is resistance, where there's thick. And not only because the challenge is bigger, but because there is a certain mystique, there's a mystery to the physical, material, Gashmi, is the thick Metzias of Olam HaZeh HaGashmi. It holds a secret that all worlds of light do not have. It must be Nizgala in this world. So just like it was then by Matan Torah, the Eibishter comes and gives the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu wins, and he brings the Torah down here to the world, and he brings us a very physical Torah. Yet, for thousands of years, we climb up in the physical Torah and try to touch its most spiritual elements, failing to appreciate the quality of the physicality of the physical Torah. In other words, we're within the Torah, we're hitting, you know, the elevator to as high as we can go and try to run away from the Gashmis. Comes Chassidus and says, no. And you can see that clearly. Chassidus puts the emphasis, the big Chabad Chassidus, which is so, that has such knowledge and understanding and such Yehudi law and understanding Elokus and Orein Seif and everything on such incredible, puts all the emphasis on a dry, simple action, on an act of a mitzvah being done with a yid who has zero kavana, nothing, just doing the mitzvah. It's like the action. It's so absurd. See, this makes the emphasis on that. What the Rebbe does in this sicha is that in the world of Tachtain itself, the Rebbe highlights and says the world is a globe. So there is the higher hemisphere. Now we're used to looking at the world as the up and down is north and south.
South.
Okay, so the north pole is considered the top of the world. The south pole is considered the bottom of the world. But that's just a reference that people have decided. There's no real, you're dealing with at the outer space and the world is circular in the middle of spheres, right? These spheres, there's no up and there's no down. You can technically make up and down anywhere you want. It's just, obviously we need reference. So we say north is up, and south is down, right? In that case, the Alter Rebbe comes and Alpi Torah, he shifts it and he says, what we will consider from a Torah view as up is where is the holiest place? That's higher. So that's Eretz Yisrael, Har Sinai. That's what we have to take the globe and put it like this and put Eretz Yisrael, Har Sinai on the top. If that's the case, we have the bottom. What's the bottom? The bottom is the Americas, North America, South America, Australia. These are the Chatzi Kader HaTachtein, the underbelly of the world. It's interesting how last week when we were talking about the sand that is producing all the
which is the most daimim.
It's interesting. It's the most daimim. We spoke about it, and I was reading weird. This is what AI gave me. Where is the sand mainly coming from? So the three out of the four sources of where they're taking the sand is in the lower hemisphere. They have from North America, mainly in the Carolinas. I don't know why that place is huge deposits. They have it in Brazil, which is also South America, also Chatzi Kader HaTachtein, and Australia. Which is all, if you put Eretz Yisrael on the top, they're all on the bottom. Also Norway. But Norway is in the Chatzi Kader HaElyon and in Europe. But other than that, it's all Chatzi Kader HaTachtein. So what the Rebbe is saying, that the ultimate expression of where the Torah can unlock the ultimate godliness is unlike what we think in the holier places of the world, Eretz Yisrael, and so on and so forth. No, true, there is a makom, there is a place where the Shechina will dwell ultimately, and that's in Eretz Yisrael, and from there it will be nispashit. But in order to turn the key and open up the gilui of Atzmus, does not happen by Yidden living in Eretz Yisrael and surrounding and bringing holiness with Earth itself, but the higher part of Earth. We have to go under the globe. We have to go to the bottom and over there bring the Torah to the bottom. And dafka, when we bring it to the bottom, that's where the Gilui of Atzmus takes place. And you have the Ufaratzta, as the Rebbe speaks, the Gilui of, without that, the ultimate revelation that there is no other than Hashem can only come from the lowest part of the earth. And that, the Rebbe says, you can see it literally with your eyes. Never was there a Jewish movement of Torah and mitzvahs and of Kedusha that encompassed the entire world. Never. There was never, Moshe Rabbeinu's movement of Judaism did not touch the entire world, at least not then. It's right now still affecting. Avraham Avinu spread to humanity up close by. David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, civilization, but it wasn't the entire world. You know, you had all these great leaders. No one ever encompassed the entire globe until it was done. But where was it done? From completely the underside of creation, because only over there is where this enormous power unlocks. That's the chit. That's so amazing. And the Rebbe says, "Well, when did that happen?" He pins it to Chavches, to Koyach Sivan, which he explains is the, what does it mean? It's the koyach of Matan Torah. It's the koyach of Sivan. Sivan is Matan Torah. The koach of the power of the Torah is to reveal Hashem everywhere, to make the world godly. Well, where is that expressed? When you reach the bottom and you reveal godliness at the lowest point. But the Rebbe is basically saying that koyach that was given at Matan Torah, Hashem oiz liyamo yitain, that Hashem get koyach then, although that koyach was in play for thousands of years, it reached a whole new dimension when, on the 28th of Sivan, when this particular koyach, now, obviously there's a lot of tzaddikim who came to America, and there's a lot of, but no one came to America with the ambition to transform all of America. If anything, we'll create fortresses of holiness and we'll kind of try to keep Yiddishkeit alive, right, even in America.
But I think there was more a feeling of kind of like playing the defense rather than the offensive.
Who would think anything else?
Everybody came and they set up their little communities, and I think
that's normal. Not only is it normal, that's noble. After you're crushed after Holocaust and you're barely breathing, all you want, leave me alone. Just give me a little menucha and thank the Eibish there that I'm still interested in Shabbos and making a mikvah and starting a yeshiva. And that is commendable. Shein kamayu. No one would think and should think any different. Only a neshama that is being sent on a mission that is completely, completely beyond anything we can imagine, is coming to America and saying, not only are we going to arrive to America, but we're going to, from chatzi kader atacht, and we're going to flip it all over. That is so amazing. That's so amazing.
I think that the it's so, I know where we're coming from, you know, our community. And I think that when the Rebbe started on the offensive and started sending people out on the streets and started making noise and becoming visible, that's why there was such a like visceral backlash to it. There was this
so uncomfortable
feeling of
so uncomfortable.
We don't want to bring any attention to, and like you said, it was completely understandable considering that where we were coming from, and let's just be quiet. Let's make our little shtetl here and keep quiet. And to be able to have that foresight to say, no, we could do this and we have to do this. But really, if you don't learn the Hasidus, then there's no reason why you should do it. There's no reason to push that, because you don't realize what there's no purpose to it. It's just, you know, like you said, let's keep our Shabbos, let's keep our kashrus, let's do what we need to do for our infrastructure. But the Rebbe came in with this, because of the Hasidus because of the Baal Shem Tov and because it was able to see that, no, this is, we're not here by accident. We didn't come to America just because, oh, there's one last place where they're not persecuting us, so now we could go there. That was the whole point of it. That was the whole reason why we're there. That's the whole, this was everything that we went through was building up to this. And without Hasidus, you don't see that. You don't have that understanding of it. So of course people are like, well, what are you doing? How does this fit into the bigger picture?
The Rebbe translates it into this week's parsha that before the Yidden went into Eretz Yisrael, they sent spies. They spent the Meraglim, the scouts, the Rebbe, supposed to be scouts, turned out to be spies. But and what was the Kavana? Vayasuru es Eretz Kanan. So the way the Rebbe translates Vayasuru es Eretz Kanan, and the Rebbe says a very nuanced thing, which I think you can learn the Sikha and like miss it. He says like this, before you can go conquer Eretz Yisrael, what's going into Eretz Yisrael? You're going into the lands of Gentiles, the lands of the seven nations. You're going into the, in a sense, in the broader sense, you're going to conquer the world for God. That's what you're going to do. You're going to make an unholy world godly, because we know that the seven nations, they're the source of the 70 nations. So going into Eretz Yisrael really meant that was the beginning. We began with the Shoresh by hitting the roots, the main koichos of the 70 nations. And after you take them ba'oifin klali in a general, then you can go into the pratim, into the details. Mm-hmm. And what are the details? The details will be all the 70 nations eventually all over the world. In order to be able to do that, to actually do that, why do you need spies to go there before? So the Rebbe says, this point of the spies is that they have to be megala, that there is a Yisrael, that there is Vayasuru, that there is a, Vayasuru is come from the word Yisrael, that there is an added something to gain by pachkening with earth. Azoi, naturally, you're privy to the greatest divine experiences. You're the chosen people. You have higher neshamas, higher souls. You're given Torah, that's the divine wisdom. With the Torah comes Maaser Merkava, everything godly, everything holy. And you're in the Midbar eating man and living like the Alter Rebbe explains the whole story with the Meraglim. You're living in such a utopian godly existence. Why is the Eberster chasing you to Pachka with Hollywood? To Pachka with Grubkite? To Pachka with a unholy world? Why do you need it? Was fehlt euch? Why not close ourselves up in a yeshiva and study and learn and live a godly life? So you say, okay, the Eberster commanded, so we have to do so. Okay, so we'll go. The Eberster doesn't want us to stay in the middle, we'll go. As long as you're going, but you don't appreciate why you're going, and you're just going with simple Kabbalah soil, which is of course the foundation, but you're just going because of that, you can't have any chayas in that. Because if you're doing something that you so don't want to, that you have no, you don't see any meaning in it.
Right.
It's going from something so rich to something so pathetic. Even if you'll do a mitzvah and the gashmi, it's still grub and coarse, the whole gashmi is still alive. And why do I have to do that? So the Rebbe says you got to go there. You got to shine the light into the Aretz and take a deeper look. And suddenly you realize, Gaval, Dafka the Aretz, Dafka the earth has a connection to the Eberster's truth that all these Ruchnis to the worlds don't possess because they're all Shaykh. I'm using Hasidic terminology. It's all Shaykh to Giluyim. It's all Shaykh to lights and to Oyer. It doesn't have any Etzim. Etzem is only in Malchus. Malchus is earth. Only in the Gashmias. That's where Atzmas is. So therefore, when you appreciate that, then you can go down into the earth and actually do it. And here is where it's so phenomenal. Because the Rebbe is saying, we finally come to America and from America we lift the entire world. But we needed to have seven generations of Vayisrain Eretz to appreciate Eretz from the Alter Rebbe, who in Tanya tells us Nesava Kodesh Baruch Hu Liyis Lo Dira B'Tachtoinim, and directs us to appreciate Dafke tachtan she'ein tachtan lamata memeni, that the point is dafke in earthiness. Dafke, that reprogramming of our minds and teaching it to us for seven generations, embedded in us the appreciation that we have in conquering and going into the darkness and transforming a dark place into light. The Yisra and Eretz Bakoilu. Or else, and when I say or else, you say, Taka, for those who don't learn Chassidus, it doesn't make sense, and it's almost no virtue to it. Yet people stand in awe and say, how did Lubavitch do it? It's at the same time, it's like, I don't understand what you guys are about. I utterly don't understand why you're about. Like, let me put it this way. If all the shluchim would live in Manhattan, they probably had enough work to do just in Manhattan and maybe a few other places. Meaning, there's so many Yidden there that have not yet been touched with Yiddishkeit. And why does my son have to live in Fairbanks, Alaska for to meet the, I mean, there's Baruch Hashem, he's meeting Yidden and doing amazing things. But if it's just quantity of Yidden doing mitzvahs, put him in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, all the shluchim, and they would have enough work. Would have enough work. And the Rebbe says, no, dafke every pina nidachas b'chola olam kulay. It has to be. And it's not so that from vacationers should have kosher food when they go to there. It's a nice perk, and it's gevaldige avos Yisrael, and it's a gevaldige service. But that's not the inyan. The inyan is that the emes of the Eibishter has to be everywhere. And the entire globe. And the Eibishter is the reality of all of existence. No one ever, like, demonstrated that till now. That the Eibishter is real everywhere. And there isn't a place in the world that the Eibishter's Ratzon cannot or is not conditioned to be fulfilled. Because wherever you go, there is some kind of Torah and mitzvah structure that you can live a life as a Yid now. There isn't a place in the world where you're more than, I don't know, 100, I don't know how many miles, but no matter where you are, you're within reach to some kind of a Yiddishkeit infrastructure due to the Rebbe's shluchim and to this thing. But it requires the appreciation of understanding that earth is where it's at. Earth is where it's at. Yes.
You said something, and I feel like I didn't fully understand it, and I want to understand it. You said that all the other worlds have the Giluyim, but the Atzmus is in the Malchus, in the lowest. Could you expound on that, Adra?
Atzim, yeah. So one of the, when the Alter Rebbe talks about Nesava Kodesh Baruch Hu Liyos Laidira B'Tachtayinim, There is two nuances over here. One is that the Eibishter has a taiva to be in Tachtin. That's it. And there's no explanation to it. There's nothing. So that itself, the fact that the taiva of the Eibishter, which is coming from his essence, because as the Alter Rebbe explains, if a taiva is kankashinish, it's not a rational thing. It's beyond ration. It's a desire of. So that itself makes the Medrash says in Shira Shirim, Shaykov Amudei Shesh, that Hashem's thighs are pillars of marble. So the Medrash says, Zeha Olam, that's the world, Shenishtoikek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levrei. So that the Eibishter is Nishtoikek. Nishtoikek means he literally, he's pining to create it. It mamish creates a taiva, and we think, oh, taiva, I can't compare it to my taiva. You have a taiva. This is a taiva. You know what the Eibishter's taiva is? it's ain't so bigger taiva than you'll ever begin to imagine. How much he's burning with this for what? Time and space. And the material, physical, gashmiistic world. Your goof, that's what the Eibishter is nishtaikik, right? So that's number one. That already puts the Eibishter is not, and when we say the Eibishter wants the oilam, he wants the more oilam it is. The more oilam it is, the more world it means, the more helam the hester, the more he wants it. Okay, that itself connects atzmus to the gashmiistic world. But the Alter Rebbe adds something else in Tanya, which is very, very powerful. He says the etzem mitzias of a davar gashmi is created from the koyach of atzmos, Because the fact that a davar gashmi can claim independent existence, that it doesn't exist because of a cause. The sense that we have mitzad our gashmis is that our existence is absolute, meaning I'm not being supported by something to make me be. I am because I am. That type of a hergish is unique. It's the unique property of living in a physical body. Anybody that's not trapped in a physical body would look at that feeling as you need a therapist. You're literally a lunatic. There's no such a thing as feeling out of nowhere, because everything recognizes that everything is energy and everything is produced and everything has a cause. The sense of cause is runs through the entire system from Reish Kol Dargin out Seif Kol Dargin. Everywhere in every world, as soon as you pike your head out of the physical, you're that's just a natural feeling that there has to be a cause to things. And we're not talking about philosophically. You feel it in your gut. There's no guts there, but that kind of sense that you come from somewhere, and it's so deeply, intrinsically your consciousness. It's only like being drugged up in Gashmias that it has this most absurd feeling that no one else has, is that it just, like a stone, just feels like it exists. It exists. What it is. The Alter Rebbe says, where does it get such an idea? Only Atzmus has the exist without a cause. Every Giloy of the Eibishter, as soon as you have Or Ein Sof, the Or Ein Sof comes from the Ein Sof. So there is a something generating it. Only the one whose existence is absolute, like the Rambam says, Mitziyusai Matzmusai, that's the Eibishter. The Eibishter shares that only with a Davar Gashmi. Mm-hmm. So Gashmi is the Yesh HaGashmi. The Grubkeit of the Gashmi reflects the essence of God. And that's why we only come face to face with the essence of God in the Guf, in the Gashmi is. But to reveal it is when Gashmius is fashioned in accordance to Torah Mitzvahs. That's when it's expressing, because Gashmius can be the biggest liar. In other words, take the Gashmi outside of Torah Mitzvahs, it is the biggest, it's the farthest away because it's the biggest liar. It denies God completely. Because in Ruchnius, you realize there is a cause, and then you recognize that cause also has a cause. You eventually must feel that there is an original cause. So you can't be an apikoiris gamar if you're living in Ruchni, because Ruchni has to admit that there is a cause. Gashmi can be atheist, agnostic, only Gashmi. So when Gashmius is just behaving for itself, there is nothing farther than the Eibishter than Gashmi. The moment Gashmi is turned around and we fashion it to express Torah Mitzvahs, which means expressing the Eibishter, Atzmus is now being expressed in Gashmi. And that's why Gashmi is in Gashmi itself, Eretz Yisrael has more Ruchnius, the Gejusis, flowing through it. Where do you have pure, unadulterated Gashmias? Gashmias, that's America. Think about America. It's I am. It's the
country. It's all about also self-made. The whole precept of America is that anyone could come here and become a billionaire.
Billionaire. Everybody can make it. You can do it. You don't need anybody. You're not dependent on anything. Du kannst das sein. That's America. So America represents, that's why all the Yidden were dropping Yiddishkeit when they were coming to America, because this is pure Gashmias. It's the most toxic place to be a Jew in. And yet, the Rebbe comes and turns America over. And Dafka from here comes an Ufaratzta that surrounds, takes over the entire world. This is crazy.
Because I think a lot of people could kind of say, like, okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mesav Alei Dira B'Tachtonim, and he gave us the mitzvahs, and he specifically wants us to use the material world, and that's how he's going to be revealed in the material world. But, like, why do you need to go to the dark places? Why do you, like, let's just touch the power of stuff. I think that's, you could say that. It's a very legitimate claim.
Well, Torah does that. Torah gives you certain parameters where you're not allowed to go, and those are all the forbidden stuff. Gimel Shalos Klipas Atmeis. And that's true. But the United States of America is not Shalosh Klipas Atmeis. It's Klipas Noiga, like everything else. The earth, I'm talking about the earth of the United States of America. I'm talking about the nations, the Alter Rebbe says, Shalosh Klipas Atmeis in general. Okay, but the earth itself, the environment is Klipas Noiga. But within Klipas Noiga itself, it is the most unsensitive to Elikus. And so it's really Malchus Shebe Malchus. And that's very interesting how the Rebbe says in the Sicha, it's the sixth Rebbe who the Rebbe points in the Ha'aras. The Rebbe says his name was Yosef, so he's Yosid, which is Yosef. And he's the one who comes to America, but America is Be'ikr Shaykh, the Rebbe says, to the seventh generation, which is Malchus. And the Rebbe in his humility, just in his Lashon over here, so beautiful, listen to this, Ha'aras 73, V'yadua, Shekvoit Kedushas Marichami Admor, who connected Sphiris Ayesaid, Shmay Arishan Yosef Shumidas Ayesaid, the Friedrich Rebbe is the attribute of Yosaid. What's the point of Yosaid? Yosaid is to transmit all the spiritual lights down to the Makabel. So the Friedrich Rebbe is the one who makes the journey across the sea, in the same way like Yosef made the journey to Mitzrayim, also to Erevas Aretz, also to the lowly place. Yosef, the Friedrich Rebbe, makes his journey to America, but he is not really the one who is going to unplug America. He's the one who's bringing the old world to the new world. And I didn't mention it last week. I wanted to talk about it last week. If you learn the Friedrich Rebbe Sichas, I'm just going to point something out very interesting. I find it amazing. You see that the Friedrich Rebbe very much is yearning for the old days. Mm-hmm. He so much is complaining, if I can say, about the cult kind of our generations, about the people. And he's yearning for how it once was in Lubavitch, how it once was when the air was clean and when there was Tmimis and there was Yiddikite and people were real and people were, and there were Oivdim and they were Daveners and they were, and he, but yet he comes like a mighty lion. He says, America is nicht anders. We're going to break through in America. But it's still, there's a hergish there that he's, We're gonna even in America, we're gonna continue.
We're gonna be like there.
The Rebbe, you never see in the Rebbe Sichas, the Rebbe's kvetching. I don't want to use the word kvetching, but like complaining about what once was. The Rebbe looks at his American boys and girls, and the Rebbe sees that these boys and girls, dafk in America, because of their self-confidence, because of this American chokoladnikis, because of this, like you call them, because the American like oomph, dafka the mila of the American born and bred people, not their edelkeit. That confidence and that strength that each, and the Rebbe uses that, and with that he goes and he conquers the entire world. That's Malchus. That's all taking it from within. But you can't unlock that until you have to download everything. Just like the guf is holier than the neshama, only after thousands of years of the guf being bottled in the neshama, then we unlock the yisra and eretz, that the neshama is going to take life from the guf. So too, all the six generations, but the seventh generation elevates all the six rabbeim and reveals the depth of the Torah of all the six Rabbeim. It's amazing. And from the earth, we elevate Eretz Yisrael, we elevate all, Dafka from America, from below, everything is raised. So it's fascinating, you know? And you see something interesting. This whole concept of Chatzi Kader HaTachton, of the lower globe, which is what the Rebbe, which is Koyach Siva. Now, what's so beautiful, the Rebbe says, Koyach Siva means, this is the koyach of Matan Torah. The koyach of Matan Torah is to conquer the world and to reveal the koyach of the Eibishter. What's the koyach of the Eibishter? Where is the Eibishter's koyach revealed? You create halomis vehesterim. You create the biggest chutzah, the Rebbe mentions it also in the Sikha. You create the most outside, not shayach anything more outside. And then it's revealed that the entire, that too is only him. That's the koyach of the Eberstein. Right. So koyach Sivan, the koyach of Matan Torah, is Nizgala on the 28th of Sivan. The Rebbe says, when we come to America and transform it. But I wanted to mention something interesting. The Rebbe is basing this whole concept that there's something about the lower hemisphere, and because the Rebbe says, in all generations, Yiddishkeit was in the upper hemisphere. And even the Gilui of Chassidus was all in the upper hemisphere. Only in the Friedrich Rebbe comes to America, and the Rebbe says, but take a look at a Chiddush. When Torah was in the higher part of the world, Torah was not so powerful. Dafka, when Torah comes to the lower part of the world, the Torah explodes and becomes global. By the way, I want to share with you something. It bothers me to even mention it, but I'm thinking that this mamash touches upon it. This new anti-Semite popped up on my YouTube channel because I don't know. I guess YouTube feeds you what you're looking. So this guy's an anti-Semite, Che'en Kamoyo. He's an incredible anti-Semite. Why do I say such an incredible anti-Semite? Mamash, the most dangerous guy I've ever seen come out. But this guy is spot on like I've never seen anybody.
That's why he's so dangerous.
he's very dangerous. And he's basically week after week getting up there, getting thousands of followers and speaking about, you guys don't realize where the world is at, what the Jews are thinking. It's all about Mashiach. This entire war with Iran is all about Mashiach. It's all about Geula. It's Jews thinking to dominate the world. But he says, don't even pay attention to anybody. You have to pay attention to one person, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he goes on and on. And what I just watched before, is that he starts to discuss about Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And he gives the whole history. He says, it's in Gemara's Masechta Sanhedrin. And he says, I'm doing the deep dive for you guys, what the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach means, and so on and so forth. And he says, no one really codified it until Mishneh Torah. And he shows you pictures of the Rambam. He says, I'll give you a whole class about the fascinating entity called Rambam. And he explains the Rambam. And he says, but even though the Rambam says that it's our job to influence the nations to keep Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, he says the Jews were so busy being persecuted and Europe with the wars, and no one was paying attention to the Sheva. No one paid attention to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, he says, until, guess what, one man. And he puts, basically he's trying to show that the Rebbe is the one who's seeking dominance over the nations. Mm-hmm. In other words, this guy is mamish. He's touching upon something that there was never a threat from the Jewish people until the Lubavitcher Rebbe, till the Chabad movement, because this is a serious movement that's actually affecting 8 billion people on the planet. So whatever the Rebbe is saying over here, he is confirming it, obviously from his twisted mind with an agenda of his own, but he's seeing it. And you can see if he's saying it, like it's consistent with the MS of the Sichas that the Rebbe is saying that. Oh, but what I was going to say is that the whole concept of Chatzi Kader HaTachton, that the lower hemisphere is a thing. The Alter Rebbe started talking about it in a Maimer, and I gave a lot of classes about this year because I'm speaking about America's 250th anniversary. Corresponding, because there is an interesting thesis that I spoke about this year, is that the America was founded in 1776. Okay, it's 250 years now. The Alter Rebbe opened up his first real estate as Chabad in 1776. So the two of them are, I believe, very, very deeply connected, because America and Lubavitch are very deeply connected. Why? Because if the purpose is Dira B'Tachtainim, lifting the world up, so the Alter Rebbe sets his eyes already in America. He's talking about the Alter Rebbe puts the phrase that Matan Torah was not given in Chatzi Kader HaTachta. So that whole idea becomes from the Alter Rebbe. And what's fascinating is that the Rebbe sends a letter to the Friedrich Rebbe, asking the Friedrich Rebbe, when the Rebbe is still in Europe, asking the Friedrich Rebbe about this Shmua that the Alter Rebbe speaks about Chatzi Kader HaTachton, that the Matan Torah did not happen on Chatzi Kader HaTachton, which means in the lower hemisphere. The Friedrich Rebbe answers the Rebbe a beautiful long letter, where he explains exactly what it means that Matan Torah did not happen in Chatzi Kader Atachtan. And he's basically, in that letter, you would think, okay, random, the Rebbe's asking, the Friedrich Rebbe's answering. It's amazing in that letter how when the Friedrich Rebbe starts, you know the Friedrich Rebbe style, he says something and he right away goes off into a tangent, it looks like, into things sometimes, into one story and into another story. And if you read the Friedrich Rebbe Sichas, you see he goes, and before then you realize, where is he going? And it seems almost like he got carried away. But it's not that way, because everything is meduyak. The Rebbe taught us that everything by our Rabbeim is incredibly meduyak. Everything is incredible. What I found fascinating is in this letter, when the Rebbe asks the question, the Friedrich Rebbe tells him, let me tell you the order of how the Alter Rebbe would say Chassidus. And he goes in how he said certain Chassidus he said for all the Chassidim, certain Chassidus he only said for individuals. And then there was certain Chassidus he said for a very selected group. And he tells the famous story of how the Tzemach Tzedek was a little boy and he wanted to hear the Chassidus and the Alter Rebbe didn't let him in. Mm-hmm. And the Tzemach Tzedek figured out that there was a fireplace, famous story, that was protruding into the Alter Rebbe's room. And the Tzemach Tzedek would go into that fireplace and he would press his, like Hillel did, and he would press his ear to the wall and he would hear the Alter Rebbe would say, the Alter Rebbe's Chassidus. And one time it was a freezing Friday night and the guy came in and they told him to warm it up. It was snowing, it was freezing, to warm up the oven. So he put the logs in, didn't notice the Tzemach Tzedek was there, and he lit the logs, and the Tzemach Tzedek almost chas v'shalom, whatever, because the reason the guy noticed, was because he couldn't push, the logs were not going in, so they went and they stopped it, and the end, they mamish, were miracles, Tzemach Tzedek came out coughing, whatever, but Baruch Hashem, he was okay. The Rebbetzin Stern and Sarah came to the Alter Rebbe, really upset at him, and giving the Alter Rebbe over the head, that the whole world is allowed to hear Chassidus. This one, and your own Einikol, and look what could have Chas v'Shalom happened. Mm-hmm. She gives the Alter Rebbe, you get a glimpse of the wife, Rebbetzin, giving, and the Alter Rebbe tells her, calms her down, and he says, Moshe Rabbeinu only took the Torah Balabas Eish, through the flames of fire. Mendel is also taking the Torah with Mesiris Nefesh with Balabas Eish. In other words, him being ready to burn in a fire for Chassidus, that's Moshe Rabbeinu getting the Torah from the Eibishter also with flames of fire. And then the Friedrich Rebbe goes on to tell the Rebbe the whole story about America. How it doesn't mean that doesn't mean that there's no Torah in America. It means it's just going to be a much harder beer. That's the teichen of what he explains to him. Mm-hmm. I thought when I read it, this is my own chiddush, the reason he tells him a story about a little boy Mendel who is moiser nefesh and is stuck in this is he's hinting to the Rebbe, your name Mendel, and this is your America. This is your department, and it's good that you're asking this question. We know that the Rebbe was fighting. The Rebbe didn't want to come to America. Mm-hmm. The Chassidim and the Friedrich Rebbe did not tell him to come. The Chassidim were begging and they host as a whole, whatever. So it's clear that this was the Rebbe's Dor HaShvi'i, Malchus, the Yisran Eretz Bakoil, who everything has to come, as the Rebbe explains, the Yisrain that comes from Malchus and enriches everything. And from the bottom up, everything is elevated. And what it means to us is to recognize that Dafka the Gashmiistiga world that we live in, and Baruch Hashem, we're living in a very, very, very Gashmiistiga society. And whether we like it or not, the culture we've now gotten into engages the physical very much. Now, if you're coming from a very Chassidish place, you can try to, create duck shits over here and Neville, as they call it, or whatever. And we should. We should be edel and we should be refined and we should be spiritual and this and that. But the fact that we're living in a world where the Eibishter gave Ashiras to Yidden and Gashmis to Yidden, deeper understanding and deeper thinking, we come to a place to recognize that our Avoda today is actually engaging with all of this and observing Torah and Mitzvahs with the Guf, with the Gashmias. It doesn't take less concentration. It takes so much more Chassidus, and to be so in, and I believe that that's the reason why women today have to learn Chassidus as well, in addition to it being in addition to it being the world of Malchus and so on and so forth, it's because Yiddishkeit has changed today to involve so much more the Guf and the Geshem, and the woman represents Beisai Zuishtai, the woman represents the Guf, the Bia, and to synchronize that with Elohim, make that holy, and that's the ultimate holiness. There's nothing holier than. So what we look at as like a chisaron in our world, with a little bit more, if we bring the edelkeit in and the mindfulness and the kavana of it is, it's really fascinating. It's Yemais HaMashiach. It's where the Gashmi is not going to distract from the Ruchni, Adarabe, it's going to enhance, it's going to bring deeper connection to the Eberster. A Gashmi is the, I'm not saying that we don't have to be careful. We have to be very careful. But at the same time,
it's a very fine line, and that's why people were always so afraid of that.
Yes.
I think, though, that most people nowadays feel that it's so prevalent, the God, like it's almost impossible not to engage, not to live in that world. I'm sure there are a few people who do it, but for most Yidden, we're not living on that level. So if you're living in this Gashmistika world.
No. But here's where we turn it around. It's not if you're living in the Gashmistika world. The just like if we were living in Poland would be good, but Nebuch, we're living in America.
Right.
No. You're living in America because the ultimate.
This is the ultimate.
This is where the Tachtain is. When Mashiach will come, we will go to Eretz Yisrael with the Mila that we've gained.
We had that.
And
there's no way to reach that without touching.
Yes, without touching.
Without engaging, without. It is very scary. I think even just having this conversation, and as I'm saying, and I'm thinking about certain people in my past, maybe certain teachers or certain friends who might hear me having this conversation and a little bit like, what's this blasphemy? And because it's so easy for it to go over to the blasphemous side. It's so easy to you know, you take one wrong turn and you're there. So, but our job was never easy. That's not what it's about. It's not, if we really know what we need to do, if our goal really is to have that Gilui Elikus.
If we have a healthy dose of Enoid Mulvadai, which comes every day through a starting your day off with Chassidus and with learning something that is leading you into this place, then your engagement in Gashmius should not throw you off.
Right. I think even as simple as knowing what Maida'ani really means, even just like learning that Sicha and Maida'ani and not even having the whole, if you could sit and meditate, wonderful. But just having learned it, you know, a few times in your life and knowing what Maida'ani is and waking up and being able to say Maida'ani at just those 30 seconds and have that in mind, that's already putting you there. Because Lamaisa, especially, let's say you're talking to women. Lamaisa, most women cannot sit and meditate in the morning. Some people, it's very interesting because there's this whole trend on social media now, have nothing to do with religion, to wake up very early and get your workout in. But it is more than that. There's this journaling and this meditation that's, everyone on social media is doing this, waking up at 4:30 and they have a journal and they have a meditation and then they go do their workout and they drink their matcha and it's like, has nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. But let's say you can't, you have a whole bunch of little kids.
I wonder why I'm waking up 4:30 in the morning. I didn't hear about this.
You have to go and get your matcha after that.
Okay.
But the thing is that even if you can't do that, if you learn, if when you do have time and you could learn something like I always found, let's say like the Sicha Maida'ani, just to have that, or just to have a few, or when you say Shema, to have those in the beginning of the day, to have that mindfulness and that this is what it's about, and then to go and engage, because we have to engage. We're engaging anyway. And one, we're engaging anyway, and more than that, we have to engage, otherwise we're missing the whole point. So you're right. Yes, wonderful. Really, really, this was very, very thought-provoking, very, and it just reinforces a lot of the ideas that we discussed before, but takes it deeper and makes it, you know, more profound, but also more relevant. Straddling both worlds. Yes. Thank you so much. Amir Tashem, to be continued.